I was just thinking of a few things as I was driving up today from the hut. You know what I mean? I was sort of amazing what sort of happens in a, just in a duration. You know, you're sort of driving along and you think, are you driving past Kapiti Island? You think, oh yeah, I sort of ran up that hill and ran back sort of thing. And you think, well, that's pretty good, you know what I mean? But then you think, on the second breath here, I'm taken off by helicopter with hypothermia in November. It's like, you know what I mean? Strive, take a mountain, and at the other side, so frail that you go off shivering and in a mess. But, you know, just driving along, then you see the waves crashing on the beach, and you just think, oh, Jesus, you're amazing. Whether it's just you and me in the car, just you and me, or whether I'm with 1,000 people, you're still the same. You know, just, he's just amazing. He's just the faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whether you're in a crowded room or all alone, Jesus is right there with you. You know, and then you have time of praying in tongues and praying for the meeting and then listening to another speaker talking about, you know, why do we halt between two opinions, you know what I mean? If God be God, choose him. Baal be God, choose him. But, you know, God's the greater one. And just all sorts of things as you're driving along. It's just an amazing little ride up the road. I'll just start with a little... I was at a minister's house with Paula a couple of nights ago, and, you know, this minister's spoken throughout the world and written 30, 40 books, and we just come out of a beautiful praise and worship time, and he goes, pulls out the joke book. That's not very spiritual. But here's the joke that came out. Now, I don't take any, what's that thing they put on TV? They don't say, I don't take any responsibility. These aren't my views. I'm just repeating a joke I heard. Okay, a man bought a donkey from an old farmer for $100. The farmer agreed to deliver the donkey the next day. Come morning, the farmer drove up and said, sorry, but I've got some bad news, the donkey died. Well then, just give me my money back. Can't do that, I've spent it already, replied the farmer. Okay then, just unload the donkey. What are you going to do with him, asked the farmer. I'm going to raffle him off. You can't raffle off a dead donkey, exclaimed the farmer. Sure I can, watch me. I won't tell anyone he's dead. A month later, the farmer met up with a guy and asked about what happened with the dead donkey. I raffled him off. I sold 500 tickets at $2 a piece and made a profit of $898. Didn't anyone complain, asked the farmer? Just the guy who won, so I gave him his $2 back. Yes, we all exploded with laughter at that one. Yeah, we're going to flip in our Bibles here to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through to 23. I'm sort of a little with it and a little not with it. I've sort of been doing 12, 14 hours a day at work at the moment, and a bit on the tired side, but I'm still got Jesus hot on the inside. I think like Jesus said, you know what I mean, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's just, it's catching up. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 23, that's our basics of where we're going to share today, and then we'll just bring other scriptures and tie them into this passage. You know, when we send texts to people and letters and we get on Facebook and we share little messages and things like that, we think, are they as power-packed as a section of the scripture that we're going to read today? You know what I mean? Even like sending faxes, or you go, don't do that, you're showing your age. Well, I've still got faxes at work today, I don't know. But you know what I mean? It's the power-packedness of God's word that's just amazing how much it explodes from just even one verse that we can read. The setting for this was Epaphras was visiting Paul in prison in Rome, and he went over there to give him an upload of how the church was going back in Colossae, and he turned up there to give him a report, and he said that they had the spirit of love about them, and he was sharing this with Paul the apostle. And so this is Paul's response back to Epaphras to take back to the church of Colossae. And so verse 9, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Isn't that amazing? It's just like we do not cease to pray for you. It's a continual offering up of prayer. When we offer prayer up for one another in the body of Christ, there's a less chance of us criticizing someone if we're praying for them. You think, why should I put out all that prayer and waste my prayer by turning around and saying exactly the opposite? And some powerful passages through the scriptures there. If you're a bit stuck for how to pray for someone, well, there's one in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 16 through to verse 23. powerful prayer there. You can pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And another one in Ephesians chapter 3, starting at 14 through to 21. Another powerful prayer if you're thinking, how do I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ? There's another one in Philippians chapter 1, and that's verse 4 to 6. Just one of those, for example, because it's the shortest one, I'll give you that one today. It says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, when we release our faith and love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, just that the church of Colossae had as a spirit of love, that we reach in and say, hey, God has done a good work in you, and Father, I'm praying for this person in Jesus' name that you will perform it, you'll complete it, you'll bring it to fruition, you'll bring fruitfulness in their lives as I labor in prayer for my brother and sister in Christ. How powerful is the weapon of prayer as we pray without ceasing, and we just... We lay our lives down for one another as we pray for one another and uphold one another. And we minister strength, and we hold back the forces of darkness, and we release the light and power of God to come into people's lives. How much change? Believe that your prayers are effective. Otherwise, if you don't believe they're effective, then don't waste your time. But believe that your prayers are effectual. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, believe that in your heart. Have that full expectancy when I'm praying for my brothers and sisters. Things are changing. Their lives are changing, not because I'm trying to control that person, but I want them to come into their full potential and destiny in Jesus Christ in their lives. That's the love of God in action. It goes on there in verse 9 of Colossians 1 again. It says that to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So God wants us to be filled. Filled. You know, when we think of a glass of water, if it's full, you can't put anything else in it. You know, if it's full, it's full. And so we are filled with the knowledge of the will of God. The Bible says to not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, don't go around saying, oh, I don't know what God wants me to do. No, speak what has got to be according to the word of God. God doesn't say go around talking and saying you don't know what his will is. He's saying agree with my word and say that you are filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, we've got to declare the power packedness of God's word over our lives and our brothers and sisters in Christ, and believe the word of God, and when we believe it, we shall see it. So I was listening to Benny Hinn recently too. I was thinking about this glass of water and being filled, and he was also giving an example of a bowl, and his two glasses of water. One's the Spirit of God and one's your spirit, and they both get poured into this bowl together. How do you tell the difference when they're poured in there together? Do you know what I mean? You've got these glasses of water, in it goes, all mixed up. Yours is clean too because of the blood of Jesus Christ, pure, clean, no sin. We're not sinners saved by grace. We were sinners. We got saved by grace. Now we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are clean. We are clean, the Bible says, through the word which is spoken unto you. The washing of the water of the word and the cleansing blood of Jesus makes us clean. And see yourself as a clean vessel, pure, crystal, clear water in your life, that there is no contamination in your spirit, that you don't take it on from the world, that this vessel is a clean and holy vessel. And I'm poured in together with the Spirit of God into this bowl, and there you can't tell the difference. You're mixed together. The Bible says that this... he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So how many spirits are in that bowl now? One. We are one with God. So we have the strength of God. We have the power of God. We have the wisdom of God. We are one spirit with God. You know, and in his presence is fullness of joy. And so within there is joy unspeakable and full of glory and rivers of living water. Rivers of the living water of the Spirit of God and your spirit together in one, flowing out and bubbling up. Wellsprings of life coming from your heart. When you minister to people and share the love of God, even to the unsaved, it's the life of God that's coming into dead places. It's the healing power of God that's coming into making people's bodies whole. You know, we need each other in the body of Christ. The Bible says, as the Lord approaches, that day comes, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, but do it more and more. We need each other. That's why I appreciate even Pastor this morning, you know what I mean, calling me out. I had a massive headache, you know what I mean? It's probably just from the overload of work and just being worn down. But he prayed, you know what I mean? And the power of God is present to heal. You know what I mean? And so I need you, you need me. We all need each other, just mixing together. And we're a powerful force with the power of God and the Spirit of the living God within us. Well, you know, what spirit are we of? We're one spirit with God. What spirit are we of? It talks about Joshua and Caleb when they went to take and spy out the land. The Bible says that they came back with a good report, and the Word of God says that they had another spirit. They didn't have the same spirit as the other 10 spies that said, no, it's too much, we're grasshoppers in their sight and we can't do it and there's just no hope, and you know what I mean? Joshua and Caleb had another spirit. What spirit are you of? What spirit are you of? Are you, yes, Lord? Yes, I'm obedient to you. That's one thing I've held fast in my life. When God says something, I do it. You know, move from Australia to New Zealand. I don't know anyone down here. I don't know anyone. But you do it. You step out and you say, yes, Lord, I'm doing what you asked me to do. You know what I mean? You sell up homes. You move here. You do this. You do that. And God says, speak. Yes, sir. It's an honor and a respect to your Savior. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You can do a lot of good things, but if God's asking you to do one thing, then stick with that one thing. What was the last thing he told you to do in your life? Then go back to that, because then he can take you on from there. But if you haven't done that, there's no moving on forward. And that's the emphasis of my message today. It's about moving forward. It's continuing in the faith. Like we sung today about the blood of Jesus Christ, the world behind me, the cross before me. We push on, we press on towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's keep looking forward. It's not like Lot's wife who turned back and turned into a pillar of salt, or the driver who drove back in his car, looked back and turned into a telegraph pole. No, it's a pressing on. It's a pushing forward. There's a stream that goes against you in the world, but we're swimming with all of our strength, and that's the strength of the Spirit of God. Freestyle if you like, backstroke if you like, but we're going upstream. We're pushing forward. We're pushing forward. We're gaining momentum. It's not just a survival mode. It's a pressing forward in our lives. What spirit are we of? Daniel, it says that he has an excellent spirit. Daniel had an excellent spirit, and if you read through Daniel, you'll see that he had an excellent spirit. We have James and John. Jesus, shall we call down lightning and strike these Samaritans? He says, you don't know what spirit you're of. What spirit are we of when someone pulls out in front of us in a car and does 20 kilometers an hour instead of 50? What spirit are we of? Did it strike a chord there, did it? These are little issues, and it become major issues in your life. What spirit are you of? When we pray for the nation, are we praying for God's mercy in this land? Or are we praying for judgment? It's our part to release mercy, to sow mercy if we want to receive mercy, to show God, have mercy in this land, bring people to repentance. The goodness of God leads people to repentance. The goodness of God. We release his mercy into this land. We release his mercy into the South Pacific, into the nations of the world. Flicking on a couple of clips, I think it was last night, just flicking through a couple of clips, and some of these persecuted people over in Syria and places like that, and they said, you know, the one thing they can't take from us is our joy, and they can't take our faith. They can take our homes, they can take our churches, but all they've done is they've brought us together in one place where we have one home and one church. You know what I mean? But they can't take our joy, and they can't take our faith, and that's what can't be stolen from your life. Is your joy in the Holy Ghost and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing that can stand and cannot be taken. Another guy was saying that abducted or whatever you call it, and taken away. He was working on a mobile site or something like that and got taken away, kidnapped, and Islamic people and that were beating him with an AK-47 and sort of breaking him to bits and stuff like that. And while he's sort of suffering under that, he had a vision of Jesus and said, go home. He goes, how can I go home? They're all around me. I can't go home. But within seconds, they were all fighting against each other, and they shot one of the guys of their own, and they were too busy fussing with himself. He just got out of the area where he was, walked away, caught a taxi, and went off. You know what I mean? And then he gets home and his wife says, I had a vision, you know what I mean, that I don't know what happened to you, but you got kidnapped and Jesus said you'll be back soon. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's the power of God in our lives in every situation. Believe for God's glory to show up in your life. It doesn't matter the mundaneness of life, the housework, the washing of the dishes or whatever it is. Believe for God to show up in your life. Believe God because he's an explosive, awesome, mighty God in your life just to come and show his power. They that know their God should be strong and do exploits. You won't leave James and John there, the sons of thunder. They, you know, did get filled with the Holy Ghost and they took on a different spirit later on. Romans 12:21 says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a lot of evil coming against the Christians, a lot of evil in the world, but don't be overcome of it, but overcome it with good. Good is a more powerful weapon than the evil. It will overcome. Love will never fail. It will never fail in your household. It will never fail with your spouse, your children. You sow the love of God. You build up your children. You don't tear down. If you want just to keep the same old, keep on saying the same thing, but declare life. Declare that our children are taught of the Lord and great is the peace of our children. Or, you know, my spouse is on fire for God, full of the Holy Ghost, you know what I mean? Or whatever it is. And in your workplace, they're saved in Jesus' name. We call them in. Do you know what I mean? Whatever it is, we declare what we want to see God do in those situations. So we're not overcome evil, we overcome it with evil with good. Like if I threw a ball at the wall, it would bounce back. For every action, there's a reaction. Something's going to go on. If someone tries to light your wick, then what are you going to do to react? Release the power of God when you blow up. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, you don't operate in a cantankerous spirit. You release the love and power of God. You know what I mean? We're not doormats, we're not wusses, but there is great power. You know, the Bible says, your gentleness has made me great. You know, as you rest in God, and it's his power that quickens you and does the work through your life, because of ourselves we can do nothing. You are either overcome or you are an overcomer. It's our choice what we want to be to do in life. How are you going? Oh, not bad under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? Jesus Christ, or God said in his word that I've called you to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You know, it's either true or it's a lie, but let God be true and every man a liar, the Bible says. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? I've received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So let God be true. Let God's word be the final authority in your life. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. I will not be overcome of evil. I will overcome it with good. I will overcome it with revelation, with the power of the Spirit, whatever the circumstances it is in your life. It doesn't matter whether it's a small thing or a great thing. God is greater. God is bigger than anything. He is Lord of all. Everything in life is a fight for your faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Reign in life by one Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Reign in life. Do you know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds? They're far more mightier. The fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, they're far stronger than anything that the enemy has. And anything the enemy has is quite often a counterfeit anyway. Jesus Christ is the original thing. They say Coke is the real thing. No, Jesus Christ is the real thing. You know, the spirit realm is more real than the earth, the flesh we dwell in. This earthly flesh and everything in this world will pass away. But he that does the will of God will abide forever. Eternity goes on forever. Our living, our spirits, our souls go on forever. And then our bodies get quickened and joined together. And we reign with life and reign through the 1,000 years with Jesus Christ. There's a spiritual thing going on, you know what I mean, behind whatever's going on in life. It's a fight to take your faith, to try to steal your joy, to try to rob you. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So believe to walk in the abundant life. Believe to take dominion in the circumstances that you're around. The Bible says that he that now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. An antichrist is coming, but there's a restraining force of the Spirit of God within your life that's causing that not to happen. So the Spirit of God is that restraining force in your life, and wherever you go, you take dominion. There's a shift coming in the church. There's a shift coming that they will rise up and they will speak with dominion and with authority, and demons will flee. The gates of hell will shake and the power of God shall be revealed in the nations of the world. There's a dominion that's already there, but it's becoming a revelation on the inside of the church of their authority through Jesus Christ. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Fresh revelation, burning in your spirit, burning in your heart. The power of God. But even when that comes, the greatest thing the Bible says to do is rejoice, because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Even though you see Satan flee, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Been meditating on that in the last couple of weeks. Greater is he. Greater is he. Doesn't matter what this circumstance is. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he. The devil has to obey. Jesus said, either come out, and they came out. Or he said to Satan when he was being tempted, get thee hence. Go. And he had to go. In your life, you see, oh, that was Jesus. But the Bible says, resist, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you too. He will flee. You speak the word, he has to go. He has to leave you. He has to leave that circumstance and be gone from your life. Your decree. In Romans 8, verse 31 to 39, just want you to do one thing. Just want you to put your hand, one hand on your head and one hand here on your spirit, just like Pastor Seth does quite often. And just say, fill, Lord. More, Lord. Filled with revelation. Filled with anointing. Filled with understanding. Filled with power. Filled with the glory of God. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Bless the Lord. Romans 8, 31 through to 39. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's God's goodness and kindness, isn't it? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yes, rather than is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for you. If you want a good intercessor praying for you, there's one praying for you right now. His name's Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. No! In all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. You know, one lie the devil wants out there is Jesus doesn't love you. Jesus doesn't care for you. You're not good enough. He's an accuser of the brethren, but he's been cast out of heaven. You know, you take your stand. There is no condemnation to me in Christ Jesus. I'm a clean glass of water. I'm a pure vessel. There's no guilt. There's no shame. Jesus took my shame. He made me his righteousness. You know what I mean? When there's guilt and shame, then there's no confidence towards God. But the Bible says to have confidence and boldness and access. We have all these things through Jesus Christ. It doesn't belittle our acknowledging him as Lord of all, but it's that boldness and confidence, just as a child has. He doesn't come up to the dad and say, oh, can I just lick the wrapper off that lolly? He says, no, I want the lolly. You know what I mean? It's like there's a confidence and a boldness and yet a great respect for our Lord. But nothing can separate you from his love. It doesn't matter how bad it gets or whatever it looks like, nothing can separate you from his love. And when the darkness tries to come, the light of God shines brighter. The glory of God is always stronger. Jesus Christ always came through. Do you know what I mean? He laid his life down at the point he laid his life down. But before that, they tried to throw him off a cliff and do all sorts of things. With Paul the Apostle, they wanted to kill him and knock him off. But he says, no, it's not my time to go yet. I'm still going to run the race. I'm still going to fight the fight. And I'm going to go all the way until I lay my life down. Do you know what I mean? We've got to fulfill the call. We don't turn up in heaven and Jesus says, well, you know, what are you doing here? No, he wants to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. You've completed the task. Faithful is he that called you who also will do it. He began a good work and he will perform it. He will complete it in your life. Doesn't matter how young or how old you are. He will perform it. He's at work in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. There's promises to the overcomers. Overcomers, that's us. We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers in this life. We're not defeated. We're not downcast. We're not downtrodden. We are risen and we stand up right now, spirit. During the week, I was so worn out, flat on the floor, but in my spirit, praise God, my spirit's still alive. My spirit's still on fire inside, just burning with the Holy Ghost in my inside. You know, we are in fleshly bodies that can only take so much. That's why you need sleep at nights and all that sort of thing. And as much as you can, get your rest and eat the right foods and all these things. But above all that, if there's all that's going on in your spirit, is still, I'm in love with Jesus. He's my closest friend. I dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. You know, but you've got to get the Word of God into your spirit for it to come out. You put too much TV in and all the TV comes out. You put all the sport in and all the sport comes out. I'm not against sport, I'm not against TV, but how much of it are you putting it in? How much are you offloading and putting into your spirit? What are you feeding into your spirit? You've got to feed the Word of God and let it come alive and explode on the inside. When you're feeling weak, then His strength begins to surge back within you. Overcomers, what are the promises and blessings to the overcomers? We'll eat of the tree of life. Will not be hurt of the second death. In other words, we will not be separated from God. Jesus was separated from God and he paid that price. God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God could not look at the sin. But Jesus took that for us so we don't have to be separated. We'll eat the hidden manna. He'll give us a white stone. That white stone talks of three things. One is talking about acquittal. In other words, a judge. In the old days there, they would give a white stone and saying, you know, you're acquitted, or a black stone if you're guilty. Well, we have a white stone that's been given by our judge. It's an admittance. In organizations, they used to have, if you had become a part of that organization, they would take a secret vote and they would put white stones in a box or a black stone. And so the white stones are our stone. And so we're accepted in the beloved of God. And also white also talks of romance and intimacy when we give like a man gives a woman an engagement ring, like a 2-carat. Well, yeah, okay. Well, all the ladies would like a 2-carat, you know what I mean? I'm not talking about those orange things you crunch on either. I'm talking about the real. I guess I've sold diamonds for 20 years, so a little bit in the diamond thing. But you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, we're given a white stone that's been given by God. And on top of that, it says there's going to be a name put inside that stone. And it's a name that only he and you know. Nobody else knows. That's how precious his intimacy is, just with you. He's such a big God, he can have intimacy with millions of people. And yet with just one person, an intimacy of just you and him together. We have power over the nations if we're an overcomer. So in the millennium for 1,000 years, we'll be reigning with Jesus Christ. And he'll give you power over the nations. Clothed in white raiment. Name written in the book of life. He'll confess your name before the Father and the angels. Oh, what a day when he's going to say, Jesus is going to say, Father, this is Mary, Joseph, Martha, Gilbert, whatever your name is. You know what I mean? He's saying, here this person is. Here he is, or here she is. I'm presenting you, Father, with this person. You know, they've run the race, they fought the fight, they've loved us. And your name will be mentioned before your Heavenly Father and before all the angels. Then on top of that, you'll be actually judging the angels. So the Bible says to judge things that pertain to this life because we've got that yet to come. We're going to be pillars in God's temple. He's going to write on us the name of God. God's name's going to be written on you. Somehow, some way, I don't know, but it's going to be written on you. The name of New Jerusalem is going to be written on you as well. And the new name of Jesus. It's interesting. I hadn't seen that before until I was reading it, getting this message out. The new name of Jesus written on us. We'll sit with God in his throne. We'll inherit all things. God will be your God. You will be his son or daughter, his child. All of these things to those that are overcomers, those that endure to the end shall be saved. You start the race, you know what I mean, well and good. You've accepted Jesus, but race run the race all the way, right to the very end, till you see him face to face in glory. It's a race all the way through. God is our final judge and justifier. The words that I've spoken to you, Jesus said, will judge you. You know what I mean? Everything we live in life, he's going to put the word of God up there on judgment day. It says, I'm not going to judge. My word is going to judge. His word's going to be there. Your life, put over the word of God like a blueprint and see whatever's not of love and faith and everything to do with God's kingdom just gets burned up. And what's left, what you've done in your life, will remain. And that's how God will judge. We've received his blood for cleansing and we are acquitted. Acquitted means not guilty of the crime with which you have been charged. Okay, so we're going in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 23. We've done one verse. How's that sound? We're going to go really fast through the rest, okay? 5 minutes, we should be done. Okay. Just flip back to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing. Everything you do to please God. The Bible says that faith pleases him. So keep the faith burning. Keep that expectancy hot. Being fruitful in every good work. Believe that what you do in your life is going to be fruitful. You're going to have good fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. It may not look like that at the moment, but let's believe God together that what we're going to be doing in our life is going to be a fruitful work. And we're increasing in the knowledge of God. I like this one. This one really hit me getting this message out. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Big mouthful, powerful words, but it's basically God's power in you so that you can run a life that's filled with God's patience and his long-suffering with joyfulness. That's where the key factor of God has got to come in. Because some people can be patient, some can be long-suffering, but there's no joy in it. You know what I mean? And so we can't do that of ourselves. We've got to draw on the Spirit of the living God, strengthen according to his glorious power. You know, it says that he'll give you into your life abundance through his treasures and glory. And so this is like his power, his excellency of his power in you to run that life of patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If Satan can take your joy, he takes your strength. He takes your strength, he takes your resistance, and then you can't fight anymore. But let's keep the joy of the Lord going, and we've got to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. In all these things that we're not going to murmur and complain like the Israelites do. Otherwise, you're going to go round and round and round and round in your life, going over the same old, same old. You're wondering why you're not moving forward because there's a complaining, there's a murmuring. I mean, it's such a strong word that God gives. And they were basically all destroyed there, except for the ones under 21 at that time, because of the murmuring and the complaining. And we've got to be thankful in our lives. Not for the bad stuff, but in the stuff that's going on. We just give you glory, Father. We give you praise, and we keep that joy. Okay, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let's just pop down to verse 23, and I'll just read it from the Phillips translation. And you yourselves, who are strangers to God, and in fact, through the evil things you had done, his spiritual enemies, he has now reconciled through the death of his body on the cross, so that he might welcome you to his presence, clean and pure, without blame or reproach. This reconciliation assumes, of course, that you maintain a firm position in the faith, and do not allow yourselves to be shifted away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which indeed the whole world is now having an opportunity of hearing. One last passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through to 39. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who draw back but we're those that believe to the saving of the soul. So we're not looking back, we're looking forward. The world behind us, the cross before us, we run the race. So summing up, we're not just hanging in there till Jesus comes, just on barely get by street, or just a survival mentality, but we're advancing, we're having dominion, we're growing, and we're empowering others. Father, I thank you, Lord, for sealing your word into our hearts by your Holy Spirit this day. Lord God, that the seed that is sown will be brought forth with understanding. Father, right now I release the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the name of Jesus Christ to come upon the word that has been sown right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. I release the spirit of revelation to break open these people's lives, Father. Lord, from this day, Lord God, to a new dimension. Lord God, they'll have insights, dreams and visions and angelic visitations, ministry of your spirit, Lord God, that would bring a light in their spirit, a light in their heart, a hope in their heart, Father, and a joy in their heart. And Lord, a bounce in their step, Father, to speak forth your words of life and declare forth your glory and to see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We give you glory and we give you praise, Father, this day, for you are the King of glory, and we bless you in Jesus' name.